This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's the Trim Healthy Podcast with the bluest butterflies in the world, Serene and Pearl. And I'm Danny Valdez. And aren't we happy that you tuned in to listen to us yet again? Hopefully bless you. Hopefully. Some people aren't blessed. But we hope you are.
How dare they?
How dare they not choose to be blessed?
Can you believe someone not be blessed by this?
Oh. So, Pearl, you want
to
say
hi? Don't look at me because you told me I wasn't allowed to say it.
No, I didn't. You can talk, Kit. I didn't want you to talk that.
Serene, you're actually talking at Pearl, but not into the microphone.
Okay, I'll start and then Pearl, you can rip then.
If this was video, that'd be perfect.
So sometimes, you know, Pearl and I will get on the phone and say, hey, you got anything? You know, we're recording again for the party on Tuesday, whatever. What you got? And we'll talk about amongst ourselves what we've got on our hearts. And sometimes before that phone call, I know that phone call is going to happen, I'll sit down and I'll just open my little teleprompter, my little iPad, and I'll be like, let me see what comes to my heart. Like, what's going on? Like, what's going to flow? Anything for the party? And I sat down at the iPad and I wrote something. And normally I don't write a piece. I will just like jot down some points that I'll talk to Pearl. Oh, Pearl, this could be a good subject or, you know, whatever. And so this idea came to me that you, listener, are the blue butterfly.
And now can I jump in?
No, because you're going to talk about
this. No, I'm not.
No, it'll take away.
Ooh, but can I just say on that phone call, Stream was saying, okay. Oh, Pearl, I don't know what we want to say about on, you know, next potty session, but I had this idea and I just wrote some things and maybe we'll change it. Pearl, you can, you know, maybe we'll just change it. But here's what I wrote. And so you said what you wrote and I said, Serene, I don't want to vamp on that. I just want you to read to all our mamas exactly what you wrote. Don't say it to me. Just read it to our mamas exactly.
Okay. And I didn't write it to be a writer. Like, I didn't write it to be good. It's not good writing. It's just my heart.
But just to new peeps in our room, and if you're new, you know, the blue butterfly is our logo. And if you look closely at it, it's not a butterfly, it's a woman and is emerging and her hands are raised. But really the significance of that blue butterfly is just getting stronger and stronger to us.
Okay, Pearl, you can say your piece. Our cafe now is called the Blue Butterfly. Mm-hmm. So everything moving forward.
It's not the Butterfly Cafe.
No, it's the Blue
Butterfly. It's called the Blue Butterfly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That is too good.
Mm. Yeah.
You guys must have a branding team behind you.
We just feel to go back to our roots.
Mm.
And everything is just returning to that image of the woman, you know, flying free. Okay, so I'll just read it. You are that butterfly. You are new. See your emerging wings. See you looking upwards and to the horizon, not the ground and the past behind you. See how you have all you need to fly. See how you have your arms up, poised with purpose and praise. No arms folded and can't do obstinance. Yes, you have come from a tough, tight past. It was dark for sure. You struggled to get free. You may have even despaired, but you're out. Love your beautiful wings. This is the new you. No going back and trying to fold up your new glorious flying self into a cocoon built for a worm. You are beyond that now. You are a blue butterfly. Blue speaks a truth and truth sets you free. This is a wee rabbit trail, but let's follow it for a second. Colors in the Bible have deep symbolism. We could spend a month talking about the hidden symbolism or nonverbal messages hidden in the word through colors and even the amazing significance of numbers. Hermeneutics is the wide discipline which studies the interpretation of communication and literature, both verbal and nonverbal. It is to find the hint or hidden message that is below the surface or behind the words, a deep allegoric or symbolic meaning. For blue, we could go on and on in the Bible. But to just wipe a smudge off the surface, let's look at sapphires that are one of the many gemstones mentioned in the Bible. Sapphires are spoken of just shy of 10 times. It is a beautiful sky blue color and directs us heavenward to the beautiful blue sky and waters beyond. Blue also speaks of grace and revelation. You are a blue butterfly that follows truth, receives grace, seeks new revelation, and of course, so much more than the smudge we just scuffed at. You are not a truth dropper, letting truth fall and continuing in the lies of yesterday, a grace snubber, resisting the gift of a new slate and keeping your nose sniffing up the pig's mug of your past. Nor are you a revelation dismisser, refusing to dive into new truth that is your inheritance and promised horizon, your blue sky to soar within in unbound freedom. You cannot identify with the struggles of the worm life any longer. You look back only to be thankful that you now have been given wings. And remember, throughout the whole journey, even the dark and difficult cocoon, you were born to be a blue butterfly. Not a dull brown dusty moth, but a blue, beautiful butterfly. Butterflies are a symbol of many things within different cultures, but overlapping all is a representation of life, love, change, and rebirth. The color blue in a butterfly, not scripture inspired here, but through world culture, is a symbol of joy. Blue butterflies are used to represent the emotions of joy and hope, and also a symbol of rare beauty. Blue is the rarest occurring color in nature, with no true blue pigments in plants. Even though some flowers can have a bluish hue, there is no one else quite like you. You are a rare beauty. Not run-of-the-mill, not replaceable, precious, unique, and masterfully designed. Look up, precious blue butterfly. Know who you are. The accuser will whisper or sometimes scream, "You are a worm." But look at your blue wings and flap them in the light and let the wind they arouse, the wind of change, blow away all those lying words. You were born to escape the darkness, to push against the walls that captured and confined you. You are an overcomer and a dungeon escape artist. Houdini has nothing on you, you blue butterfly of gorgeous truth. You have learned to fly by the thrust of new revelations. Old stinking thinking is way below your altitude and attitude. Never look back, dear glorious butterfly. You were made for glory, for rising above, for flight, for voyage. Bon voyage, soaring and gifted blue wings. Don't look down, look up.
Woo!
I love it. I got so many goosebumps. Guess why? It's so beautiful. After all these years, I just like feel it was spoken through your heartstring, but I feel that to say for me too, it encourages me. But, you know, as shepherds of this flock, like so many women, and we didn't even, I don't know if there's one thing I wanted to say to them all these years and on this podcast, you just like summed it up. We are meant for freedom, for glory. We are not worms. We are blue butterflies, and our future is bright and it's full of hope.
Yeah.
That was so good, Serene.
Yeah, but it so wasn't me. That's the funniest thing. I had children screaming. I had an extra family staying in my house and it was so loud, and I just sat there and I knew I was just being a conduit of what God's heart was for all of us.
Yeah.
As blue butterflies, as the blue butterfly community.
Yeah.
It really had nothing to do with me. I really just felt like it just, I was just tapping out what God's message was. Just like, you know, like little, you go Morse code.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. You know, we've got this new franchise coming to Fort Worth, Texas. And we're changing our Trim Healthy Cafe to the Blue Butterfly Cafe, as we said. But we're asking, you know, our mamas of the area, we haven't put this out yet, but we want them to come. We want them to help us, you know, like get the place ready to sand down the chairs, to etch their names in some of the furniture, because we want them to realize this is about them. Mm-hmm. This is a place to celebrate their metamorphosis. The blue butterfly is not just a name. It's not just a logo. It's not just a little image, or what do you call those things that are?
A symbol? A
brand?
What are those? Mascot, you know, little thing. You are the blue butterfly. It's you.
Yeah.
It's you. It's you that we are celebrating and talking about. And I feel like it's hit home. We always had that heart, but Pearl, it's hitting home to us more and more.
It really is. And as you said that, it all came to fruition. It like all came full circle for me. You know, it's funny because we could have had that butterfly, you know, when our sister-in-law helped us draw draw that little picture. She drew that for us and we were like, you know, she said, what do you want? And we're like, maybe a butterfly, maybe with a woman and her hands raised. And she drew it and we kept. You know,
it has to be blue.
Yeah. But why did we want it blue? Why did we want a butterfly? So many people have butterflies for brands. But the meaning of it, we couldn't put into words. Mm. It represented what we felt.
Yeah.
But I feel after all these years, it's taken 10 years. And to see the transformations and the journeys. And I'm glad you said, you know, the accuser will tell us you're not a butterfly, you're a worm. Because that has happened to so many of us too, because sometimes that's part of the journeys, but that's when you make your comeback and you say, no, I'm not the worm. I escaped the cocoon. Right. I am that butterfly.
And to not think, oh, just because I have been in that tight cocoon before, just because my past was darkness, just because I have struggled doesn't mean you're not a butterfly. Yeah. All butterflies have had to struggle.
Right.
Such a powerful creature in the world, the butterfly. Like, they all do it. It's not some weird random thing that sometimes every 100 years happens in the world. Like, it's this magical thing that happens. It's
incredible. It really is.
To turn from one creature into a whole different look and shape with new abilities. And it's incredible.
Dan, I love what you said, to turn into a whole new creature. Because so many people think, well, I was such and such, so I can't be. I can't have this new identity because I know who I was. But we're here to say no. This butterfly is a representation that just because you were something doesn't mean you can't be a different something. It's an exciting identity.
Right. And I think it's like to say, and it's similarly to our book, you know, I'm that girl. But I've always been a stress eater. You know, that's my cocoon. But I'm a stress eater. But if the worm's the stress eater, that caterpillar, you know, it comes out and it's flying in the sky, it's not a stress eater anymore.
Right.
It's a new creature.
And I've never been below 300 pounds. That's my cocoon. I've never been below it. I can't ever get. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. It doesn't matter what your cocoon was. You were designed to be an escape artist.
Yeah, I love that.
Such crazy imagery too. You have the creature that, you know, crawls on its belly and you know, finds its food and sort of just has a view of a very like a horse with blinders almost. It's got this view from like, you know, a half an inch down, you know, and contrasted with this probably. I assume the butterfly weighs less. It looks like it weighs less.
Yeah, I know it does, doesn't it?
But it's this whole other light creature that it's not, doesn't have the laws of gravity holding it to the ground. And there's so much imagery there. It's incredible.
Yeah. So good. And you know, a lot of people, you know, I want that thought that you can look back to be thankful, to be thankful that you're no longer in that cocoon. But I don't want people looking back and almost thinking, ooh, I'm imperfect because I've struggled. Or, you know, I have this shame in my past because I've struggled. No, but the fact is scientifically and apparently and biologically that if the butterfly never goes through that, sorry, if that worm never goes through that struggle, and if it's helped out of the cocoon by some other way that's like an interference, it can never be a butterfly.
Well, you can't cut open the cocoon for the butterfly.
Yeah, because it won't have the strength to fly.
Yeah.
That struggle and that journey.
The journey.
And that passage.
And the journey's long. You know, you know that even the cocoon and the emerging from the cocoon, it's not just like quick.
No.
And who's to say what the timing should be, you know? For each butterfly, it's a different time.
And just think of the birth too. You know, just think of humans. You know, you get this average, this is your estimated due date. But, you know, some babies, they like to stay. I have this friend that always goes a month late.
Wow.
Always. And you know when you're 40 weeks pregnant, every day is 4 years. You know, imagine a month of those every day, 4 years. Yeah. You know, every cocoon, every time period of growth, it's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, they're just the lucky ones and their babies are ready at 37 weeks, don't need help with their lungs. Yeah. And it's just like, they just go early and that's how they're, that's, so, you know, we can't measure our cocoon period to other people's yeah. cocoons.
It reminds me of another metamorphosis that we will all undergo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
you're going to start talking death now, Danny.
It's time.
Yeah, Danny loves to bring it around to the death topic.
Well, you have a due date. You have a due date and you're going to be there. You're going to show up and you're not going to miss this appointment. And flowers may be placed around our tombstone and we might decorate it all and celebrate life. And that's beautiful. But it comes all the same. And there's this ancient concept that you will leave one lowly state and you will become this more glorified, beautiful being that you have no reference for right now. And man, it seems like all of life seems to point to this idea that there, that the human being goes on, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and that all of these change, you know, we put so much stock and so much preparation and everything into this life. And yet this is a, compared to millions and millions of years, I believe we are eternal creatures. And to put so much stock in grooming and perfecting something that is like a dream that passes away in the night.
I know. I so get what you're saying. And yet I wrestle with that very thing, right? Because, but I've come to my own, I guess, ideas on it. Like some people say, well, we're just here for a while. You know, why worry so much about your body? And I understand that because this is a shadow. If we are to believe that we, and I do, I believe that when I leave here, I will go to God. That is my belief. You know, but I also believe the Bible talks about long days as a blessing, right? And I want to do all I can to kick death down the curb because I feel like this life is also a blessing and it's joyous and it's filled with hard times too. But I want to extend it because it's also a gift for me until God really decides.
Well, I think the Bible also says my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
And we can, I think, take into our own hands and shorten the days that God meant for us to have. People, some people are like, well, my days are in God's hand. Yes, you've got the point, but we actually can take things into our own hands too. Like if we jump off a cliff or overdose on meth, mm-hmm. today, I believe we're shortening the days God has. So we can't just say, well, it was his time to go, you know, when he smoked for 50 years. Yeah, I think it wasn't his time to go.
Or
I think,
when, you know, you're creeping up on the sugar diabetes and pre-sugar. Oh, well, just go, you know, live my life and eat my ice cream.
Mom had diabetes.
You know, and then you go from pre-diabetes to diabetes and then your legs are cut off and you've got inflammation and you're dying
what
early.
What Danny said actually inspired a different thing. And I love that you spoke and you touched on that because I think people needed to hear that. But what Danny said actually encouraged me because I'm like, it's, this blue butterfly, this beautiful metamorphosis of seeing the truth that we don't have to stay a worm and that we can have this new identity as a soaring butterfly, soaring in freedom and new revelation. It made me realize because the real picture that it's pointing to, which is our eternal existence with God in this new glorified body, because that's such a truth in my life, because that's so truth, this blue butterfly metamorphosis is even more anchored in truth because it's mirroring this bigger truth. Like, I don't want to think, oh, this is just a little fairy tale that I can believe that I'm a butterfly when really I know deep inside I'm a worm. I've always been a worm. How can I be a new butterfly? It's a very big thing for me to get hold of in my brain. No, it's not. Guess why? Because this truth of eternal life, this truth that we are going to live on forever, this truth that we're going to metamorphose from this mortality into immortality, this humongous truth, this little metamorphosis is pointing to. So if the bigger fairy tale is true, this little one, by jingos, is true. Just like Like okay. marriage is just this little picture of the beautiful revelation of intimacy with our Father God. Mm-hmm. Now, if this intimacy with my Father God is so bygone true, which I know it is, well, then the truth that I can mirror that in my own marriage, mm-hmm. but then I can say, yes, I can that. Mirror that. This is truth.
Thank you, Serene. Yeah. And that, I get that.
And there is an intrinsic value in bringing to this planet that which is lasting and honorable and mm-hmm. beautiful and powerful, and not living a life that spirals into the same symptoms of death that mm-hmm. generations perpetuate, generation after generation. There is a samurai-like honor mm-hmm. in, you know, I think the Bible has this phrase that I never really understood, but, you know, thy kingdom come mm-hmm. on earth as yeah. it is in heaven, yes. right? It is the glory and honor of human beings to have the mirror pointed in such a, like the mirror is capturing heaven and then reflecting it to
expressing
the whole planet. And, you know, I know some people can perhaps negatively over spiritualize food or health or soundness of mind. I mean, it can be like, well, they're the holy spiritual club who, you know,
can't buy sunlight dish soap because yeah, didn't tell them to.
Absolutely. I get that extreme exists right. to the effect of ostracizing all people from you and you can't even exist with other human beings. Mm-hmm. But that's probably like so rare.
Yeah.
You know, that those, I guess I've dabbled in that maybe for a week or something. And I just, my wife was like, knock it off. And then, you know, and here we are, and we're back, right? We're out to eat with friends and it's imperfect and no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, but for every one extremist who gives love a bad name,
there are
hundreds of thousands of people who have this beautiful revelation of saneness and balance. Yeah. In that while we walk this planet, we have this amazing opportunity to reflect and shine this light of what forever might be like. And our earth provide, like, I mean, if you take food, our earth provides the necessary fuel to do just that. It's not over spiritualizing it. It's just your vessel will absolutely shine this magnificent forever picture. And your children and all of those around you can look at your life and say, man, that is the way.
I love it, Dan. And but as you were speaking that, it was just burning in my heart too. The scripture came to my mind. Oh, I can't remember the actual reference or anything, but when Jesus talks to the disciples and says, go tell everybody the kingdom of God is now. Mm-hmm. You know, the kingdom is here. You know, go out and say it's now. And so the kingdom, our eternal life starts now with Jesus, and it just goes on for eternity. And of course, we'll switch from mortality to immortality, but it starts now. We have all of that freedom in Christ. We have all of that victory for us now. We don't have to wait for the ticket to heaven before it all begins. Mm. So, you know, that little image of metamorphosis, that's starting now. That metamorphosis into the glory even beyond the blue butterfly, you know,
It's so true. And, you know, the kingdom come thing, I know it has layers, but there's a very physical, very relatable layer, right? My kingdom come, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. And you think about, you know, in heaven, there's going to be joy, right? So sometimes I think about that when I go to the grocery store, right? If I'm manifesting his kingdom or heaven, I'm not going to go around frowny because so many people are doing that, like frowny rownies, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be like, oh, the stupid person that's doing fake smile, but I'm certainly reminding myself, I can be a person of joy. I can decide joy as I go out today.
That's the kingdom of heaven.
Because that's the good kingdom. There's a good and the bad. And if I'm frowning, I'm bringing the doom and gloom to myself, to everyone else. And so I decide, you know, I have to decide because sometimes I get like, you know, the stress feelings and all this bad, poor me feelings. It's just a switch of the mind. Mm-hmm. to bring his kingdom here to earth. And it's the same thing in the grocery store. I can decide the joy kingdom by smiling at people, by offering a kind word to that poor person that's been standing there for 8 hours checking out my groceries. You know,
yeah.
I can ask about their day, or I can give them a word of encouragement. The same thing I can do in a grocery store instead of putting that packaged good that's going to bring down my health. And that same grocery store, right. I can bring his kingdom and put those earth foods in there.
I love that, Pearl, because the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of life.
Yeah.
So we can choose to be part of that kingdom by choosing life to put in our cart instead of death to put in our cart.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Now that I've given my disclaimer about not over-spiritualizing, let me now give you what I really
think. Let's now over-spiritualize.
No, not at all. But this may borderline sounding that, but I know it's balanced in my heart and I don't care what you think.
As long as you say that not one toilet paper is more spiritual than another, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, I'll at least say this
Downey.
For me. Yes. I found that when I was eating fried chicken and macaroni and cheese,
okay,
I felt a certain way. And so when one of my four kids came and presented some challenge, some parenting challenge, and I've already dealt with three other parenting challenges and maybe a spousal challenge, and now kid four, it's his turn. Oh, and this is the dramatic one. And this is the one who really digs in, you know, doesn't present it as politely as the others. And now I have to deal with that. When I'm on fried chicken and macaroni and cheese, I am so snappy. I have no energy. I have no clarity of mind. And I am just in this state where I reflect a very poor father image, mm-hmm. a very poor eternal image, a very poor that which is amazing image to this fourth kid. And does that matter?
Yes.
It has consequences. It has consequences. And so I'm not over-spiritualizing food. But when I am bursting with green and red strawberry and blue blueberry and earth protein vitality, and I'm clear of mind and clear of thought, I have the strength and energy to be on problem person number 6 in my household, me being the first, by the way, problem person number 6 in my household. I've got the brain juice and the mitochondria in my cells is burning and is revving with rocket fuel to be able to issue peace.
Yes, Dan, when you were describing that.
Is he bringing it today or what?
Oh, boy, Dan. I mean, you're not just a good voiceover guy. You're so deep. Listen, but I want to say.
I'm glad he's off those smoothies.
Yeah, but I want to say something, though. This is unbelievable. When you had that you were describing or was just saying what you were saying, I saw us as these conduits of the kingdom of heaven. The conduits of all that is glorious, and the fried chicken and the mac and cheese were just kind of like clogging it up and causing all this gunk on the sides of the pipe. So the glory couldn't come forth. We couldn't shine God's light and love as so easily because we had all these toxins in the way.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, and I've had a lot of ambitions. I mean, we can write books, we can inspire people, we can sell things, we can make good money, we can live our dreams and fantasies and whatnot. But man, right now, all I would love is that my children one day would say something like, hey, somebody asked them, what was your dad like? And they might say something like, oh man, it was like heaven to be around him.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Heaven must be real. I don't know which religion, I don't even care. You know what I mean? But there's something more out there. Mm-hmm. And I know that because of that man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Pearl's crying.
I
love that.
It's special. It's
but
precious.
You know, that's the blue butterfly that the blue speaks of the heavenly skies and looking heavenward. And
we're done pretty much, eh? Pearl needs to go have a good cry.
And then I'll be true nothing, mama, to stay.